Part 3, 10207 AG. 2 months after the end of Muad'Dib's reign, Regent Aliyah struggles to cement her control over the Imperium. What I write and what I know are not always the same thing. Muad'Dib placed a great responsibility on my shoulders, and I accept it as a duty that is holier and more compelling than anything the sisterhood demands of me. I will continue to write as the needs of history require. My knowledge of true events, however, remains unchanged. Princess Irulan, response to Wallach 9 demands. As Jessica finished her lengthy story, the restless but fascinated Irulan began to pace around the garden enclosure. She shook her head, as if to scatter the words that buzzed around her like biting flies. So, more parts of Paul's past unfold. He never told me such things. Never hinted. Jessica's throat was scratchy. You already knew that he kept many things from you. You've had to rewrite your stories to incorporate new information. Paul understood exactly what he was doing. Suddenly leery of being overheard, she spoke quietly in one of the Bene Gesserit languages that no normal spy would ever understand. Believe me, you do Paul no service by writing this sanitized, glorified version of him. You are sowing a minefield for the future of humanity. Irulan rounded on her, speaking in the same language. How do you know what he would have wanted? You left Paul and Arrakis, abandoned the jihad. For most of your son's rule, during his worst stresses and challenges, you were on Caladan. I may have been his wife in name only, but at least I was at his side. Jessica hesitated, not wanting to reveal all her secrets just yet. I was still his mother. Even during his rule, Paul trusted me with things he never told you. The two reached a flagstoned contemplation area where a pool of golden, mutated carp swam beneath a transparent moisture seal dome. Irulan heaved a long sigh and spoke again in common Gaelic, not needing to hide her words. I agree. Philosophically, that it's important for the people to know what you have revealed to me. While the background material doesn't excuse Bronzo's crimes, at least it explains his bitter grudge against Paul. It exposes his motivation for spreading destructive lies. His hatred is personal, obsessive, irrational. Feeling sad, Jessica said, "You still don't see. As a Bene Gesserit, you of all people should understand that when one wheel turns, it turns another and yet another." The princess stiffened, looked insulted. While she stared down at the circling koi in the shielded pond, Jessica faced her evenly. "Listen to me, Irulan. You know only part of the story." Catching her glance, she moved her fingers in an even more secret Bene Gesserit-coded language. Bronzo was, and is, doing exactly what Paul wanted. Irulan crossed her arms in a closed, obstinate gesture, and she spoke defiantly out loud, still in Gaelic. What Paul wanted? To defame his character? How can that possibly be? Nobody would believe that. Certainly, Aliyah will never believe it. Now her fingers flickered as she added silently, "And she will never let me write what you're saying. It is ridiculous and dangerous." It is indeed dangerous knowledge, Irulan. I realize that. You will have to be cautious. But let me tell you the rest, so that you can decide for yourself. Irulan's expression became stony, and she erected a wall of denial around herself. Leaving the koi pond behind, she stopped at a doorway that led into cool interior shadows. I'll tell you when I'm ready to continue this. The greatest obligation of a mother is to support her children, to show them love and respect, and to accept them. Sometimes this is a most difficult task. Lady Jessica, Duchess of Caladan. Stirring up so many memories from her past had exhausted Jessica, and she went to snatch a moment of quiet within the creche where her grandchildren were held. Hera was still there watching over the infants, just as she had done with little Aaliyah. Stilgar's wife had stood as a determined wall against all the mutterings and Fremen prejudices about Aaliyah's strangenesses. Even as the girl matured into a powerful role, first as priestess and then as regent, Jessica knew that Hera would always have a special place in her daughter's heart. When the priest guards allowed Jessica to enter the lush conservatory, Hera bowed deferentially. Jessica touched the woman's chin and raised her face, saw the dark hair that swept back like raven's wings at the sides. Come now, Hera. We've known each other too long for such formalities. Hera stepped back so Jessica could peer down at the two silent and eerily alert babies. Now, would you like to hold your grandchildren? Her voice held an undertone of disapproval that Jessica had taken so long to come. Strangely reticent, Jessica bent down and picked up the girl. Ganema settled into the crook of her grandmother's arm as if she belonged there, accepting this new person without fussing or crying. From the basket below, little Lodo II watched with clear blue eyes wide open, as though to make sure his twin sister was all right. Given that their father was the Kwisatz Haderach, what kind of children might they grow up to be? Aaliyah burst into the creche room with Duncan Idaho close beside her. She moved with an excitement, a cheerful energy that she had not shown since Jessica's arrival on Dune. Aaliyah wore a broad smile.
I'd hoped to find you here, Mother. I wanted you to be the first to hear our announcement. Ah, and Hera too. This is perfect.
Aaliyah folded her fingers around Duncan's, and the Gola stared with his eerie metal eyes. Hera took the baby back from Jessica, replaced her in the small crib. Aaliyah tossed her own coppery hair, making her announcement.
We have seen the need. After so much turmoil, the Imperium needs something to cheer, a pleasant spectacle that can show new hope for the future.
Duncan and I have decided to move quickly. We have no doubts. Jessica felt an unexpected knot in her stomach, instinctively wondering what her daughter had decided to do. Why wasn't the Gola saying anything? In a bright voice that sounded like an imitation of joy rather than real happiness, Aaliyah said,
Duncan and I are going to be married. We're a perfect match, and we love each other in ways that most people cannot understand.
Aaliyah was barely 16, and Duncan was practically Jessica's age. The original Duncan, at least. But Aaliyah had been born with a panoply of adult memories. Inside her mind, the girl had already experienced countless marriages, lifelong happy relationships, as well as those shattered by tragedy and strife. And Duncan wasn't the same Duncan either. Jessica tried to find the right thing to say.
This is unexpected. Are you sure you aren't being too impulsive?
Instantly, she regretted her own comment. All decisions didn't have to be the result of cold calculations. She wasn't a Mentat. Despite her Bene Gesserit training, and much to the sisterhood's dismay, Jessica made decisions with her heart as well as her mind. She had done that when she'd chosen to conceive Paul in the first place, and Aaliyah afterward. Aaliyah spoke with great surety.
Duncan is the right man, Mother, the man who can help me hold the Imperium together. I hope to have your support.
Jessica looked at her daughter.
As your mother, how could I offer anything else?
The smile and the sincerity, though, came much harder. And who could ask for a braver, more loyal man than Duncan Idaho? The Gola spoke up for the first time, his words and voice sounding so familiar. I realize this must be strange to you, Lady Jessica. I died for you and for your son. And now I love your daughter, who wasn't even born before my first life ended. Jessica wondered why it was that she greeted this news with so little enthusiasm.
Am I just being selfish? She thought. My Duke loved me, but he never made me his wife. Paul loved Chaney, but never made her his wife.
And now Aaliyah and Duncan. A strange pair, but oddly suited to each other. Jessica reached out to place one hand on the Gola's arm and the other on Aaliyah's.
Of course you have my blessing. Oh, child, I do hope you will be happy,
Hera said.
You need strength, and if this man is the one to give it to you, then you two must be wed. Together, we will rule the Imperium and keep it strong.
Aaliyah glanced down at the babies. Until Leto and Ganema come of age, of course.